Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Well, that was fun.
What the fuck?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the season 8 finale episode of Grey's Academy. We have just, like, within the last 10 minutes, Carmen finished watching the finale episode. I finished a little before that because I don't have to stop it as much because I've seen them before. But, yes, we have both very recently just watched the season 8 finale. It is just as unpleasant every single time.
I don't know if the word dumpster fire was invented because of this episode, but it feels like maybe, just maybe, it was created because of this
shit. It's not fun, but it is going to be fun to talk about because it is a big deal. It is a big deal finale for sure.
I experienced, let me just tell you really quick too, before we jump right in, I experienced an emotional roller coaster. So I'm sitting there watching the episode, fully reclined up in our motorized bed, watching the episode. Lexi has, like, just recently died. And Jess comes in and goes, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, well, she knows I'm watching Grey's, but she's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, well, Lexi just died. And she goes, "What else?" And I'm like, that's it. That's like, everything else is question marks. So she goes to the little tablet that holds the bed and she puts it flat, and then she forces me to have sex with her. And then we find out that a teacher at Marlowe School died. So what a journey.
A lot of things happening.
All while I'm trying to just watch Grey's. So
interesting.
It's okay, guys. We're married. It's marital sex. It's marital intercourse. So
did you cry?
No, but I got close.
Yeah.
I got close a couple times. So here's the thing. It sounds like my logic for a Lexi Mark death was going to happen. The I love you thing being upon the death, like he was going to say it back and then he was going to die was kind of saw it. So it basically flipped was Lexi. I really didn't think Lexi was going to die. I didn't think that her story in the hospital was quite yet done. So that was shocking to me. Well, I guess let's talk about let's just do the thing that we always do at the beginning of every episode. Let's just get the shit out of the way.
Okay.
And then we'll talk about all the dumb shit that fucking happens in this stupid ass episode. I would rather Gary Clark come back. Come on. A plane.
This is a rough one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Come on. Let's do it.
Okay. This is
how many millions of people tuned in for this?
This is the 24th and final episode of the 8th season. It is the 172nd episode overall. It is called Flight. And that is a song.
That is a song. Not much exists about it on the internet, but it's a song by Morgan Carr. That's all I have. It's a YouTube video.
Yeah, actually, it's not even on iTunes. Like, it's on Spotify, but not on iTunes.
The only recording that Kelsey was able to find to send me was like a live recording of them singing this live. And the recording quality was not that great. The song is also very sad. So zeros across the board. Zeros for everything.
But on brand.
Yeah. Talented, but zeros.
Yeah.
And also because it did not exist in the Apple library, I could not add it to my iTunes library. So
true.
Yeah.
Beyond control. Okay. This episode was written by Shonda Rhimes, obviously.
Of course it was.
I was reading when I was reading, doing my research about it. She fully was like, I did not have a good time writing this. Like, this was, there were like a lot of contracts were ending or up for renewal, like at the end of this season, which is why this episode is written the way that it is, with a few decisions made and basically a majority up in the air. And so there were a lot. There's like a lot of back and forth with Schuyler Lee. She has three kids, so I think ultimately she mostly just wanted to be like, have a little more control over her time to spend with her family. So that was the main one with her leaving.
That's Lexi?
Yes.
Okay.
Are
we able to infer that Teddy is gone?
I was going to ask what you thought about that.
Well,
what your inference is.
My inference is that she's gone, but I don't know because this, like, she is leaving not knowing that Christina, like, is basically almost died in a plane crash and mm-hmm. all this stuff is going on at the hospital. However, I mean, Hunt fired her.
Yeah, she's gone. So you did that thing again where you were like whole half the season predicting she was going to leave. And then like two episodes ago, you were like, she's going to stay.
I go back to the majority on that. So I majority said she was leaving. So yeah. That's the winning thing. Okay. I majority said that. Can I just tell you that the way Teddy acted towards Owen in this episode gave Owen a little bit of a hero arc?
I hated it. I wrote that down. I was like, these are lies. This is a lie.
No, honestly, like, bring it all back. Owen's, I think, the real victim in this story. Owen was wronged by Christina. Make Owen great again, am I right?
Hashtag men are victims.
Hashtag free Owen Hunt.
Hashtag men's rights.
Bring the liberties back to the oppressed Scottish people. Thy name is Kevin McKidd. I know that. I know that now.
You do. I think you'll remember that one.
Apparently, I have to now.
This episode was directed by Rob Korn, so we got Rob and Shonda together again, which I think, you know, they both know the show so well, and they know each other well, and they work together well. And I think there were so many moments in this episode that were like classic Grays with like different cuts of things that'll happen like simultaneously. And I was like, this is so like peak. Like, this is what this show is. It was like, as terrible and like jarring as this was, there was a lot of it that was back to like the core Grays feeling, even though a lot of the terrible things weren't even in the hospital. that aired May 17th, 2012 to 11.44 million views. It's like 16% up from last week.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, they promoted this that someone was going to die.
Okay.
So it's not surprising that it had, like, obviously they promoted the plane crash and they were like, one of them will die. And I watched it with my mom and I was like, she was like, well, Lexi's going to die. And I'm like, no, this episode, it's like 10 minutes in the episode. Like, they're going to obviously wait until the last possible second to kill someone. And then 5 minutes later, Lexi died. And I was like, oh, I guess they're just doing it up front. Like,
it's pretty
early. It was 16 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like, when Christina goes to Mark and Mark is like, this was like, the girl who had all the stuff from the side impact of the car and she's fine the whole time. Then all of a sudden she's dead.
With Big Jim.
It's not Into Like a Train.
No. It was a different one, but it was with her dad was Big Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that it felt very reminiscent of that. But when she went over to him, I was like, oh, so Mark died holding her hand. That's poetic, except he didn't die.
Yeah.
And then there's another scene with him in Arizona. And I'm like, oh, this guy just won't die.
He's trying.
They're like, nope.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, I remember watching and them had like, they had promoed one of them will die. And so, but I was, you know, Shonda like just conditions you with the cliffhangers. So I was like, well, it's not now, you know, in the last 20 seconds, not the first 20 minutes. So, you know, it's just, let me read the Netflix synopsis.
Yeah, I actually, like, I have a hard time clicking on the episode when it doesn't autoplay for me on Netflix because I'm nervous. I'm like, ADHD eyes are going to go look at the synopsis. I have to be really careful about that.
A dangerous situation leaves the doctors fighting to stay alive. The good news is they're so vague, like, half the time that... It's like not a spoiler.
Imagine the synopsis is the group of doctors grapple with Lexi's death.
Lexi dies in the woods. Like, that's the synopsis. Sorry. I'm just heartburning it up. Mm. Okay. So, yeah, Lexi, this is the end times for Lexi. So upsetting.
I guess, should we start with this, like that particular scene? So do you have the receipts for that scene?
It's with her brutal. And Mark?
Yeah.
I do have the whole transcript pulled up. Upsetting.
I think there's a lot of things that happen in these cliches and movies and TV shows where the person's like, I'm not going to say you're going to die. Like, no, I refuse. And then they go do the thing and then they come back and the person's dead. And they don't get a chance to say goodbye. Right. Also, this also reminds me of the dad who wanted to take his daughter to Mexico.
It's brutal that Meredith doesn't get to say goodbye to Lexi.
It's brutal.
I like that her and Mark have this moment together, but I hate that Meredith doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Okay. So at first he's like, I'm not going to hold your hand. You're going to be fine. I'm going to pick half of a plane up off of you. Also, this
can
is
I just
after,
also tell you,
yeah,
for a second, I thought it was going to work.
he's going to do it.
It was so early in the episode. I was like, maybe they get it. But Christina gives a long lingering look.
Yeah.
That was her goodbye.
Well, Christina. So at first, Mark is like, oh, she's gasping for air. So she's having a little trouble breathing. And then Christina's like, Lexi, tell me what's actually happening. And Lexi basically diagnoses herself with, I'm going to die in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And Mark obviously is in a delusional shocked state and wants to save her. And so he's like, it's heartbreaking how childlike he is when he's talking to Christina. He's like, get the fluids and hitting her. He's like, we can give her the fluids. We can give her the this and that. And she's like, no, we can't. And he's like, why aren't you going? And it's just so
sad. A bottle of water will save her, Christina. Yeah. Go get the bottled water.
So Lexi's like, she knows I'm going to die, Mark. It's fine. And Christina, is I'm going to be right back. I'm going to go get this stuff. If you're alive when I get back, I will try. That's what I feel like she's saying.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she and Meredith get back and Lexi is not alive. But Mark is, still trying to convince her it's going to be fine. And she's like, hold my hand. And he's like, I'm not going to hold your hand because you're not going to die. You don't get to die because you can't die. So he tries to hold the plane again or move the plane again. And doesn't work. And then he kind of accepts it and lays down and holds her hand. And he says, I love you. And she says, you don't have to say it just because I said it. And he says, I do. I love you. I love you. I've always been in love with you. I will always be in love with you. She says, yeah. He says, yeah, which is why you have to stay alive. We are going to get married and you're going to become an amazing, amazing surgeon. And we're going to have 2 or 3 kids. So Sophia can have siblings. Yeah. A sister and 2 brothers. That's nice. And we're going to be happy, Lex. You and me, we're going to have the best life, Lexi. You and me, we're going to be so happy. So you can't die, okay? You can't die because we're supposed to end up together. We are meant to be. And Lexi says, meant to be. And then she dies. And then Mark closes her eyes and cries. And just says, I love you over and over again. And I don't love it. And then 2 seconds later, Meredith and Christina stumble over.
Yeah.
And then Meredith is sobbing hysterically. Christina is crying silently. And Mark is disassociating from the world. All valid responses, honestly. There's no right way to grieve.
Yeah. That scene sucks. The moment when she says meant to be, and then he's just sitting there saying, I love you over and over, that almost got me. That
also him closing her eyes. I hate it so much. Oh, and when she says, tell Meredith she's a good sister.
Ugh. Yeah.
Also, so when the episode opens, the plane, the initial wreckage is like the pilot, Arizona, like her legs are trapped. Christina's trying to climb out of the seat. Meredith is just laying near them. So they're all kind of in the same area. And Mark is also like laying near the plane wreckage.
I think they show everyone at one point in the wreckage except for Derek.
Lexi is somewhere different.
No. Yeah. But when they're like opening and then they have like kind of those like little flash scenes, they show Lexi's face, I think.
Possibly.
I feel like I remember positive. Seeing Lexi. Yeah, Lexi's puking blood.
Cute. So Lexi, they realize they don't have her with them. She's like got the seatbelt and she's banging the plane wreckage that it has her pinned down so that they can find her because she is always brilliant no matter what is happening. So they find her. Christina's shoulder is dislocated. They're trying to like move the plane. They can't. Meredith is like, I gotta find Derek. And they're like, okay, that's fine. Go find Derek. We'll stay here with Lexi. And then she's trying to find Derek.
Even before that, let me tell you that the shock that is happening in them is insane because Meredith is all she thinks about is Derek. Christina's like, where's my fucking shoe?
Let me tell you, that is iconic in Grey's lore. Losing the shoe is a constant joke because they'll like show all these like moments of Sandra Oh just being like really stoic and be like left at the altar, like having an abortion. Gun to her head, and then they'll be like losing her shoe and just like shows her screaming.
Well, and then Arizona is just yelling and yelling and yelling, and Christina's Arizona. Like, can you just shut up, please?
Arizona, I know you're having a bad day, and I understand that you're pinned under a plane, but like this is not helpful. This is also not helpful.
When they are looking around and they show the pilot, mm-hmm. they make you think he's dead.
Yeah. Initially, for sure.
Initially, yeah. So, sorry, I just wanted to call out some of those initial, like, very quick
flashes. Meredith has glass stuck in her leg. Gross.
Oh, yeah, and Christina said that Derek was sucked out of the side of the plane.
Yes, because, like, Meredith says, like, where are Derek and Lexi? And Christina says he got sucked out of the side of the plane when we hit the trees. And the back part of the plane just wasn't there anymore. And she's like, well, that's where Lexi was. Like, well, it's not there anymore, so I don't know what you want me to say.
And obviously, again, back to the shock thing. So Mark is just like walking around, like
he's stumbling. Up. Which, and I like Meredith also initially, like when she's waking up, she hears nothing, and then it kind of like comes in, like little by little. She hears the screaming. She hears Christina being like, "Where's my shoe?" She hears Christina being like, "Get up, get up!" You know.
Yeah, and then at one point they hear the seatbelt piece, and Lexi. No, sorry. Mark, Christina, and Meredith all just walk away, and they don't even tell Arizona. They're just like, they just leave and don't even tell her. So she's sitting there, bone out.
No, well, she's like, they say, where is that noise coming from? And Arizona's like, over there. And they're like, okay, bye.
And they still don't address it.
Go.
They just, I'm gonna go check that out. And what was the other note that I said here? Oh, no, that's later on. Sorry.
Yeah, Arizona's leg is very broken. Her femur is sticking out. It's gross. Jerry is like, I think one of the engines went out. And then he's like, oh, also, I can't feel my legs. And then he just goes, she stops laughing. And he's like, yeah, I knew that was bad.
Yeah. A real downer on top of everything,
poor Jerry.
Right?
And then Christina. Anyways, we'll get there. So they find Lexi, it's Bad News Bears. They send Meredith to go look for Derek. When they show Derek, it's gross. Also, I feel like just in general, the level that they show in this episode is just a little bit, it's not anything that hasn't really been shown before, but it's just like the volume of gross that is shown feels like more.
Yeah.
And
you're talking about his hand.
His hand, and then later on when they're like stitching up the arm, then just like with Lexi's various, I mean, she's just like, she's just bloody as all get out. And Jerry's covered in blood. Christina stabs him. Arizona's femur. They show that more than once. You know, Meredith pulls the glass out of her leg. It's just a lot of things.
Yeah.
That's, again, we've like seen these injuries before, honestly, in the hospital or similar things, but it's just like they were all at the same time. It was just a lot of gore. Derek's hand is like somehow in the plane and he tries to pull it out and he can't. So the solution is bang it out with a rock. But then later is like, we got to save my hand, Meredith. And I'm like, buddy, do we? You banged it with a rock. You Doctor banged Strange. It through a hole of airplane with a fucking rock.
Yeah. Here, I need you guys all to know, you've probably gathered this in our years together now of listening to this podcast, right? And Kelsey knows this to be true just from like scientific evidence of knowing me as a person. I have a very low pain threshold.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Derek, I'm dying in that position. I'm dying with my hand in the plane.
Also, Carmen is very specific about his little fingies. He's such a baby about his fingies.
I'm probably as big of a baby about my fingers as Derek is, and he had the wherewithal. He had the strength mentally to do it. I don't. And you know what else, guys? Where are the bears in all of this? Where are the black, the brown, and the Kodiak, the grizzlies? Where are the bears?
They
and
are.
The mountain
they did
lions?
Film this at Big Bear Lake in California, but they were flying to Boise, Idaho. So I don't know where they're actually meant to be.
I think that there's some sort of like mountain lions or bobcats or some sort of other apex predator running around.
We only see them through the day. So you're naming a lot of things that would potentially be coming out at night.
Well, they get to the night at
they
one
get
point.
To the night, but we haven't made it through the night.
Okay. So but like other nature, where are the deer? I haven't seen a single squirrel.
Well, there was a plane crash. This feels like a pretty loud disruption. So most of the animals were probably like, whoa, that doesn't feel like it's supposed to be here. I'm going to run away.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I will say at the very beginning when they're like showing all of these terrible injuries, and then it's just like juxtaposition with like little Tweety birds in the background. I'm like, this is jarring. And
it's
I
jarring.
Don't like it. Yeah. I mean, that's the point. But
At first, I thought that was a misdirect, too. I'm like, oh, look, there's you're being led to believe that's Derek's hand. But the way they did the screen, like the panning, mm-hmm. is it was a very quick grab of the hand. And then it cuts to Derek, like very quickly. I thought, oh, they want us to think that that's Derek's hand, but it's not. It's someone else's hand.
So, I mean, the only choice would be Lexi, because we've seen everybody else's hands at that point.
Correct. Right.
Okay.
I guess that makes
would be
sense.
Weird, but he was actively
I
trying
think
to pull it.
There's
through.
A lot of things. Well, yeah, but that's the next scene. That's the second.
No, that's all that's, at
no,
once.
No, you're right. You're right.
But it's gross.
Why didn't we watch this one together?
Because I'm very pregnant, and you would have had to come here. I cannot travel right now.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
So that's like the introduction of like the plane crashing and how everybody's doing and everyone's current state and like these wounds are all before the title card. Then we get
Which
the title card and then it's like, oh, the hospital. And we're like, I'm like, no, I actually could not. I have no cares about anybody in this hospital right now.
Yeah.
Like they are all fine because they are in a hospital. The other people are in a plane crash in the woods.
Yeah, and they're oblivious. They don't know because very early on, Owen's like, there's a fire. A fire team got caught in a building. So now we got sent all my calls to voicemail. I'm not to be disturbed all day.
Yeah, only tell me if it's Christina. Don't tell me everything else straight to voicemail. I'm like straight to jail for Owen.
Straight to voice jail.
So I mean, yeah, that's the first thing they show us in the hospital is like Owen's. So that's there. Now there are some plot hole call outs historically, canonically within the Grey's fandom of this episode, mainly surrounding this plot point of Owen. Like no one, it seems like the Boise people are only calling Owen. You don't have any other contact at the hospital to be like, these doctors are missing. They're not here. They haven't even landed at our airport.
Yeah.
Then there's plot holes of like, did the assistant like know that that's what these voicemails said? Like, is she listening to the messages and just not telling him? Which I don't think that's true. I think she's just sending everything that's not Christina to voicemail. And then the other thing is, like, with Christina and Arizona specifically, people are like, isn't it weird that their significant others have heard nothing from them? Like, you didn't. I mean, I feel like it's pretty typical when you take a plane ride and you're not with your significant other. You let them know when you land.
Yeah. And this is what, 2012?
Yeah.
So texting was for sure a thing.
They all have Blackberries.
Yeah, but they should have iPhones.
I guess April had an iPhone in the last episode.
Did she? How did I not even notice that?
Yeah. It was.
Did I say something?
It does not look like an iPhone.
Yeah. Those iPhones really had a glow up.
So. Those are like the main kind of plot points surrounding this storyline, is just like no one realizing how long they're unaccounted for. But we'll address that more at the end of this one, and then
probably
continuously for several more episodes. We'll keep talking about it.
My big thing on that particular point is Callie is waiting in the bed for sexual relations.
Yeah.
There should have at least been a text of "I've landed. I'll be there soon.
Yeah.
Like, or I'm taking, like, you just don't know. Like, come on. And also, it's not like you're flying on a Southwest or a, by the way, fuck Southwest. You've ruined your business model. Or like United, where you can just go online and find the tracking updates. Man.
It's stressful.
There's a lot of plot holes.
It's not as stressful as Gary Clark, but very stressful.
I was still sweating watching this episode, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Richard, also at the hospital, Richard is like going to take, he's supposed to take all the residents out for like a celebratory dinner. By all the residents, I mean the only five that we know.
The ones that we watch, yeah.
The ones that we give a shit about. And so Jackson, April, and Alex are like not in the mood because Alex is upset that Arizona is mad.
Yeah, she took him off all the cases.
Yeah.
Being mean to him. Wah.
She kicked him off the plane that crashed. So that's fun.
Yeah.
And then Jackson is upset because he still has no idea where he's going or what April's deal is. And April's upset because she has nothing. And she says she has to move back home.
To Moline, mm-hmm. to choose between working at the Tasty Freeze and the cow milking farm or something.
Which Alex is correct. Obviously the Tasty Freeze.
Tasty Freeze is the obvious choice. Yes.
So. Oh, and also Miranda and Ben are still like going back and forth about what they're going to do. Like, is he going to go? Are they getting married? Are they doing long distance? Like, what are we doing?
And so apparently happening. Just throwing around the phrase, which I had not heard of before, called a partners.
Yeah, I've also not heard that.
When he says it's so common that there's a word for it. No,
never that argument. Heard of it. Because also she says there's also a word for syphilis, but I don't want it.
Yeah. Gosh, she's so funny.
What
else is going on? And then obviously, like, there's stuff with Owen and Teddy happening at the hospital.
Also, the patients that they have at the hospital are dealing with the same things that they're dealing with in the plane crash. So, like, Callie is treating someone with an open femur wound, which is what Arizona has. And then Teddy and Owen actively side by side cuts treat the cardiac tamponade,
I didn't catch the femur thing with Callie.
Yeah, they just mentioned it like one or two times.
That's when she's like, hey, which Alex, you want to jump in on my surgery? Yeah. Okay, I didn't catch that. That makes sense. But I did obviously catch, because they make it very
they really
obvious
hit you
with
in the face
cardiac
with the other
tamponade.
One, which is why I was like, oh, I wonder why they're not doing that with also the femur. But it doesn't really matter, but it's yucky.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I don't even know how to do this. It's so upsetting.
I guess let's just knock out. Well, I guess let's just talk because this is like all the storylines are so intertwined.
So I do want to go over when Christina's like, Lexi, give it to me straight. Like, what's happening? I just want to read off what Lexi says, because she says her legs and pelvis are crushed and she can't feel her left arm, so she doesn't even know if it's there. She feels like her chest is going to explode, so she thinks she has a massive hemothorax. And that's when Mark is like, get the oxygen and some water, because that'll be fine. And then, so unfortunate. And then when Christina goes to get all that, she runs into Meredith, and Meredith's like, oh, I'm going to keep looking for Derek. And Christina says, no.
You need to come.
You can do that. You need to do this other thing.
Yeah. Derek, you will find maybe later. I found your sister. She's for sure dying.
Yeah. I do think that the acting from everyone in this episode is great. Just like so good. Obviously, the writing is great. The acting is great. Specifically, I think Eric Dane, who plays Mark, does a really, really great job. And then Shyler Lee playing Lexi, because I don't think it's easy to die, like, in character. And I think it's also, like, so entangled in this, like, back and forth love situation, which is just, like, such a bummer, because for, like, half the season, you've been like, oh, they'll just have this great kiss and they'll get back together. And every time you do that on the thread on Discord without you, people are like, we don't ever get to see them kiss again. Like, they don't ever do that. It's just so sad.
I am so personally upsetting. Sorry to all of the Mark and Lexi fans out there that are saddened every time I predict they're going to get married and have a beautiful life, because one of them, maybe the other, dies.
Yeah. So do you think this is more surprising than George dying?
Actually, let's take a message from our sponsors. Be right back.
Great.
And we are back. So I guess I'm having a hard time remembering with George, because when he died, the Callie storyline had resolved. The Izzy storyline had resolved. Like, a lot of things had resolved around his storylines.
He had kind of, like, not really been present in a lot of things, in a lot of storylines. And we were noticing that. We were like, oh, George isn't really there. It's kind of been nice.
Yeah. With Lexi, this is surprising because she just professed her love to Mark. She just, like, she was in an unresolved arc. So being in an unresolved arc, then to be killed off, that's pretty jarring. Yeah, I would say that that's probably more surprising to me, especially because they've also started to, like, paint Derek and Lexi's relationship as, this isn't the brother-in-law. I'm your brother. I'm your big brother. I'm not your big brother-in-law. So that's sad. I also, she like hadn't even gone through her stuff yet. She hadn't even finished her journey. She didn't get to go sit for the boards. She didn't finish her residency.
Yep.
George at least had been around long enough to fail his intern exam, you know? So, like, and he was 007. Like, Lexi didn't even have a chance to, like,
she was Lexipedia.
She was Lexipedia, but for so long, she was just in the shadow of Mark Sloan's ex-girlfriend that she didn't have a chance to be. Or Meredith Grey's sister, that she never had a chance to be, like, great on her own.
Mm-hmm.
That's what bums me out about her storyline, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they get, I mean, if you're going to get a death scene, at least you die like that in love, and she gets the last word, the meant to be. George dies as a mangled meat grinder.
George dies as, like, a mystery.
Yeah. And he honestly, we don't even really know if it was him.
We do.
They never did a DNA test. 007. He could have been Pierce Brosnan dying. We don't know. in Grey's universe.
No one can see, but I am rolling my eyes.
Everyone is just making an inference. George could be out there.
So he, well, I think the difference is just the presentation of it. Like, you see Lexi and they're basically immediately like, well, this is bad. She's going to die.
Yeah.
The main thing about George is the presentation of, like, it's this John Doe for half the episode. And then at the last second, they're like, it's George. But I think, to your point of, like, character deaths, his is less shocking because there's, like, a lot of, like, he's not really in the middle of anything. But Lexi is actively in the middle of a lot.
Yeah.
So it definitely is different on those levels. And also, this is obviously a trillion times more sad. Not only because we actually like Lexi, but also just because, like, it's just way more sad. That's also
the difference for me. I'm like, the likability level for Lexi is just, I'm sorry to you George lovers. Also,
yeah, I'll never get
I'm
it.
Really not. But also, George just, Lexi was just so much more likable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And cuter.
Also true.
Yeah. So, yeah.
16 minutes in. I mean, I'll just never forget being like, well, she's not going to die right now. And then she, like, literally immediately died. And I was like, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. And then it just cuts to black. And then it comes back. And it's just, again, yeah, it's Meredith just sobbing.
Yeah.
And wailing. That's rough. That's brutal.
Yeah, it's not good. I didn't have a good time.
I'm just glad that he didn't waste his chance to say goodbye. I'm just glad he didn't go back to her after trying to lift the plane and he comes back and she's dead.
Yeah, I'm glad that he was there, but I just hate that Meredith wasn't. Okay.
Then you have kind of this meta moment where Christina out loud goes, I do not understand how this keeps happening.
Yes.
We are dying. We're in a plane crash. And I have to be like, Christina, this is happening to you because it's a TV show.
I know. That's a literal. I'm like, it's just a meta moment from the writers being like, well, we have to keep it dramatic. So you can't call, like, we know that this is unrealistic. We know that, like, the bombs and the shootings and the drownings and the plane crash is too much for one place. We know that. Yeah. You know that. But you keep coming back because we keep doing it.
Yeah. But also that moment, too, where April Jackson and Alex are sitting there eating, like, chips and snacks, and Callie walks up. She's like, what are you doing? You have a dinner. Richard pre-ordered your chicken or your fucking duck. And she's like, oh, wow, boo-hoo, April, I filled my boards, blah, blah, blah. What did she say? Her line was just so funny, but it puts it into another moment where it's like all of the stuff kind of coming together.
Well, because she says life can change in an instant. And I'm like, oh,
yes,
they're doing it. They're doing the sure thing. Can. They don't even know. She doesn't even know what she's saying.
Yeah. Yeah. She really doesn't. But when she goes, oh, I got fired from chief resident. Then I got fired from this hospital. Then my husband cheated on me. And April's like, wait, you were married to a man? And then she goes, yeah, and he died. So, like, you know, it's all of the drama and all of the crazy things that you put in there. And also, it kind of makes you put in this perspective Callie's character, too, for a second. Callie's been through a lot. It's crazy.
And that's what she's saying. She's like, oh, you can think everything's, like, terrible. But then, like, oh, everything will just turn around, like, right at on this one moment. And I'm like... But it also goes the other way, which is, like, what's happening in this episode.
Yeah.
So, she says, now my life is pretty great, so you're having a rough time. It's nothing. It's a blip. And in the meantime, you're missing your moment. You survived residency. Stop and celebrate that, because life changes in an instant and turns on a dime.
Ugh. All while she doesn't even know.
Yeah.
And then she swats the bag of chips out of Alex's hand.
That's funny. That was funny.
That was real funny.
So there, Meredith is still screaming for Derek, and Christina is like, how the fuck is this our life? Like, how are we here? Bombs, shootings, plane crash, flood, drowning, lion. Just, it's just the list goes on. You know what I mean? And so then Meredith is like, starts to lose it. And she's like, I think Derek's dead because otherwise he would have found us by now. And like, Lexi's dead and we're also going to die. And Christina says, keep it together. And Meredith says, I can't. And she says, keep it together anyway. And I'm like, oh, that really gets me. And then Meredith is sobbing and she says, you're still my person, even if I'm not yours. And I'm like, ouch. And then Derek is like, oh, here I am, and passes out.
I'm so glad that you're really here and I'm not just like fever dreaming your voice.
Yeah. Or hallucinating.
You know, that reminds me of like literally... you see those memes, how you look and it's something to the effect of, as a child, they really overestimate the amount of times that you're going to see quicksand. Yeah. I feel like that's the same thing with mirages. I feel like I was taught that I was going to see mirages just if I find myself in the desert,
yes,
I'm going to see
have
mirages.
Have you found yourself in the desert trapped alone, dehydrated?
I have multiple
times. Where?
Quite often.
What desert?
Once
the
a
desert
week.
Of... The desert
Mojave.
Of Chicago.
The Mojave Desert.
So I'm like, yeah, that's probably a realistic thing if you're in the desert,
yeah,
and you're dehydrated.
I can't imagine a world where he's miraging Meredith in the distance and he goes, oh, Meredith, I finally reached her. And then he's just not real and he passes out. But yeah, his hand was looking mangled and blue and rough.
Real big.
Real swollen.
So then they tourniquet it.
Not too tight.
Yeah. Christina's like goes back to the plane and is rummaging through bags to see what like she can find for anything helpful. And she had already asked, she was like, oh, where's the first aid kit? And he's like, oh, it's in this cabinet. And she's like, great, there's not a cabinet there. So that's super helpful. She finds her shoe though, so that's good news. And then she does stabilize Jerry's spine. And then he's like, hey, I just can't feel my legs because I'm like stuck. Right. It's not like I'll be OK. And she stabs him with the pen because she's a psychopath.
Doesn't even flinch.
He's fucking paralyzed. Dealing with the trauma is different for everyone. And I mean, Meredith even asked Christina, like, do you think Derek's dead? And she's like, I don't know. I have PTSD. Don't ask me anything. So it's just all going really well for everybody. Arizona's coughing up blood. They've moved Derek to where Mark and Lexi are. So Derek is trying to talk Meredith and Christina through whatever it is they're doing to his arm. There's a safety pin, which is gross. There's just chunks of skin. He's like, you have to give me something to bite because I'm just going to scream until I pass out. And for some reason, Meredith saying, please pass out over and over again, gets stuck in my head all the time, like a song.
Please pass out.
Because he's just screaming while she's like stabbing him. And he's like, yeah, loosen the tourniquet. And she's like, you'll bleed to death. And he goes, well, we have to save my hand again. Do we? And you just like hit it with the full force of your body in a rock. So do we in fact have to save it, and or can we even do that? Is my question to you. So.
Yeah. And then it's the threading the needle thing was rough to watch. And then we... What am I doing with this shirt? Stick it in my mouth,
yeah,
because I'm going to yell.
Please.
I'm going to be loud. Please pass out. Please.
What does it say? Freedom zone. Meredith cleaned out his wound and closed it with a safety pin. Just feel like there's more to it than that. Ow. Okay. So yeah. Bad news bears in the woods. It's bad news bears.
And it's at one point they pan to Arizona just coughing blood.
Yes.
And she says nothing.
That's when Christina is stabbing Jerry with a pin, I think.
Yes, that's right. And she finds her shoe. My shoe.
He's like,
she's not barefoot
anymore.
Jerry
goes, is she gonna be okay? Well, she's not barefoot anymore. Well, I guess that's something.
Yeah.
And she also finds matches. but for some reason only 5 of them.
Yeah. I feel like there's probably usually more in a packet. Nope, got my phone.
So she finds matches, and Mark is still in his sad times.
Did we say that right before they start stitching Derek up, he goes, "Where's Lexi?" And that's how he finds out she's dead.
They keep having to tell people because they have to tell him. They have to tell Arizona.
Yeah.
Such a bummer.
You know who they don't have to tell? Mark. He was there.
He was there. So he's still in the sad times. And Christina is like, "Mark, you start the fire. And you have to help." And Meredith's like, "I'll do it." And she's like, "No, like, he doesn't get to freeze and not help. Like, yeah, I don't want to die. Everything together. Is terrible. I want to go home. We all have to help." And then so she goes over and she's like, "Hey, bitch." And he's conscious. Like, his eyes are open.
Yeah.
He looks like he's just sad. And then she's like, "Get up." And he falls over and, like, she's like, "Oh, motherfucker." And so she rips his shirt open. And he's just like, I guess it's like a bruise or blood, like
it looked like blood was pooling. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's bad. So it's the tamponade, which is the same thing that Owen and Teddy are dealing with, at the hospital.
Wait, so they before they start doing that mirror thing, which is really great. Beautiful cinematography. Mm-hmm. The line that Christina says, "If there's one thing that I've learned with all the bombs and all the guns to my head and buses running down my friends, is that I am not interested in dying. Girl, fair." Let me just tell you out there, everyone, I also have no interest in dying. This is crazy. Also, dying in a plane crash, not a way I want to go out.
Nope. Well, it's like, if I do die in a plane crash, I want to die on impact.
Impact.
I don't want this shit.
No.
I don't need the residuals.
I don't want to die slowly pinned. I don't want Lexi's death.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want a death because of something that has happened due to the plane. I want impact death.
Yeah. Impact death. Immediate. Is fine with me.
Death on impact.
Do they go into what actually caused the plane crash, or are we just like, this is just it? Something happened. Faulty readings.
We'll have to wait and see.
Dang it.
Domestic
terrorism.
So Mark falls over, and then so it's this moment to me is like a really back to basics Grays, with like the cuts to the,
for sure,
how they're going to and like MacGyvering this versus like them doing it in the hospital, like it's no big deal. And so Christina's like, "It's cardiac tamponade," and Meredith's like, "Are you sure?" And she goes, 70% sure. And she says, "That's not sure." And she's like, "Bitch, get me an ultrasound. Like, what do you want me? We're in the woods." Like, and Teddy's like, you know, casually, "Hey, get the ultrasound." And so Owen's just like, doodly doo doo doo. And then Meredith's like, "We don't have an 18 gauge needle." And Teddy's like, "Get me the 18 gauge needle." And they're trying to sanitize some kind of like spray bottle, and
yeah, they take,
like, they have basically a scalpel, probably, or like a pocket knife.
It's a pocket knife, yeah.
Which that I'm like, okay, that would make sense that someone would have had that. But they take the little tubey thing from the inside of the spritzy bottle. They're like, "That's gonna work." It's definitely not very long, but they're like, "What's the option?" So they're like slicing into Mark, doing their best, stabbing it in. Don't puncture the heart. Teddy's also like, "I know I'm not going to puncture the heart." And they're just like, "Oh my God, I'm going to not puncture the heart." Because Christina cannot do this. She basically is down to one arm at this point. Christina's other, we didn't even talk about that. Her shoulder was out of socket. So she had Mark pop her shoulder back in. That was unpleasant.
That was unpleasant. I also couldn't really tell in that scene if it was the elbow or the shoulder.
I think it's the shoulder because of how low her arm is hanging.
That's fair. I couldn't tell. I've also not, knock on wood, ever had any dislocated limbs or members. Mm-hmm. So again, that's one of those things. Okay. The pain of not putting it back in is worse than the pain of putting it back in, I think. Yeah. But man, the idea of repositioning a dislocated arm, no thank you.
Well, it's also that thing of like, you know it's coming and it's gonna
yeah
hurt.
Yeah,
like they can't just, it's not like they can sneak up on you and do it when you're not looking.
Yeah. Ha ha! Surprise relocation.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And then Owen and Teddy are like, you want to get some lunch?
Yeah, all the mirroring ends. And I will say, I do agree that it is very old school gray cinematography. Like, I am reminded of the scene, which to this day is one of, I think, my favorite scenes. If you could actually send this to me after this, I would appreciate it because I don't want to spoil YouTube or anything or get YouTube spoilies. But that scene where Meredith and Teddy have to go in and basically hand sanitizer, they're walking in their heels. Like, it's kind of like back and forth of the thing that's for the aortic dissection, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. Ischemic.
No,
aortic dissection. And you're, yeah, so or, that's like,
yeah,
yeah, just, I think it's a dissection. So either way, it's just like super intense going back and forth. And then, of course, that meta level, there's a lot of meta level joking, I think, in this, because on the one end, it's just pure chaos. There's a dead person there. People are dead and dying. Mm-hmm. And then the Teddy's like,
you want to get some lunch?
What do you think about tacos? Like, what do you think about, like, let's get some grub.
Yeah.
Because now Teddy and Owen are friends again. So
yes,
just in time.
Also on the, when Callie goes and yells at them for eating, and Jackson's like, Weber and I have issues. He knows what he did.
He knows what he did.
That man
ruined my life.
That
is so funny.
So they, after they do this procedure on Mark, they relocate. We don't see this happening, but they relocate him. So they're all together except for Lexi at the initial plane crash site. And this is when Arizona's like, where's Lexi? And Mark wakes up to be like, Lexi's dead. I'm like, okay, bro, go back to sleep. Jesus Christ.
Love of my life is dead.
And then the fucking helicopter flies over. God, I hate this part. The flare gun won't work. Everyone's just screaming. I hate it so much.
It's so stressful. And tell me why I thought Derek was going to look in the barrel of the flare gun and shoot his freaking eye out. When he takes it and he goes to shoot it, but I'm like, Derek, don't you put it in your eye. And he throws it. But I'm like, man, I just, of all the things, like, click, 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 it's not working, click, boom, face, like, come on.
So good.
Yeah, that was truly very wild. I don't know, I'm already having short-term memory loss. Did you already talk about on that mirror scene where both sides say don't puncture the heart, and they say I know. Yeah. Funny that like how that shook out. Because I think Derek was saying that while he's just sitting there laying dying, I think. Does he say that, or did Christina say that? I'm already forgetting.
Derek says don't puncture the, I mean, but Derek isn't sitting, like, they've moved over. Like, they're doing their best to help Meredith. They just both only have one hand.
Oh,
so
yes.
Derek and Christina are like one person.
That's right. That
but
makes
Meredith
sense.
Has both hands.
And I think it's opposite hands too.
Everything. Yeah. So yeah, the flare gun not working, I hate. And then also Jerry's like, yeah, that box to help them track us must be broken. That's why they're not here yet. I'm like, well, that's a bummer.
What gave it away?
So they're like, well, might be a while till someone finds us. And Christina's like, don't worry, Owen sent somebody.
I'm sure he has. That's like, I heard that in the SpongeBob meme. I'm sure Owen sent someone to find us. Like, you're all out there going, you know what SpongeBob meme I'm talking about.
I don't know that we do, but that's okay. There are people that are listening to this podcast that were probably born in like 2004.
I'm going to pull it.
I don't
right
even
now.
Know.
It's
if
this
they,
one. It's
I don't
this
even
one.
Know if they watch SpongeBob
where he's thrown out his back and he's like with the long nose.
Yeah.
Man.
So upsetting. So yeah, they're not, we don't know what's going on. We don't know why the plane crashed. Jerry said he thinks the engine went out, that there's a box that's going to send people a signal to find them, and they'll find them in within 4 hours. It's clearly been more than 4 hours. Lexi has died. They've done heart surgery on Mark. Arizona's bone is sticking out of her leg. Everything is terrible. It's been more than 4 hours. Then the helicopter comes. The flare gun doesn't work. Fuck, motherfucker. Of course it doesn't work. Because just in case this isn't enough. Also, this is just it forever. The woods.
Yeah, they get the fire, but no one's really, like, tending to it. Also, how are Arizona, Mark, and Jerry gaining warmth from the fire?
I don't think they are. I think the fire is mostly... I don't know what it is.
I think it's
not
for warmth.
It's not keeping anybody warm.
Yeah, it's not keeping anybody warm.
I'm like, are you just trying not to have a forest fire? Because you can't run? But also, like, no one can see that, so do something. They do make it look like it's fucking cold as shit. Like, these people are blue once the sun goes down.
Yeah. It's and they don't have a lot. I mean, they have some clothes they found in a box.
It like looks they're
maybe
just like
a little bit bundled up.
They're just putting on the layers that they packed for their like quick back and forth from Boise.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a hard time with this because not that I'm, as you put your little blanket over over yourself.
I'm so cold. In my warm home
with no plane crash in sight. It's interesting because I don't know. I'm not like a very handy person. I'm not a big survivability guy. Okay. I would not do well on Survivor if it were real. And when I say real, I mean like I did very well in our fake Survivor game. I really was the real winner. And
false.
I would know to get like, you got to get a little bit of a pile. Let's throw some rocks around it so you can like, do this. Let's get
I'm a little bit more of a pyromaniac, so I can build a fucking good ass fire.
I built a fire from the dead the other day at Cindy's house, and also we bought a fire pit for live fire, and I made a honkin' fire, if I do say so myself.
Did you use what was it that Jessica was always squirting on the fire?
Freaking gas
lighter
fluid.
She would just walk by and pick up the lighter fluid and just spray it on like an already pretty big fire. I'm like, what is wrong with you? You can this is fine.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Okay.
But I like those fires. But also, yeah, I was like watching it slowly die out. And the way they have it die out is it looks like someone dripped a little bit of like petroleum jelly and lit it on fire. And it just kind of like, blah, 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 blah. It didn't even look like it was a real actual fire that was built.
I couldn't remember. Fire. I was like, does it start to rain? Like, cause I knew the fire went out. I was like, does it start to rain? Why does the fire go out? I guess it's just windy. And then Christina's like, okay, Meredith, here's the last match. Light us a fire. And she's like, okay. Pew, immediately goes out. Not my favorite. They're cold.
Yeah, it's no good. I feel bad for them. Obviously, we are sitting here not in a plane crash. So that's always good news, but Then I forget with like these internal injuries and the blunt force trauma, they're always like you got to stay conscious. So Meredith is starting to fall asleep. Derek's trying to fall asleep. Christina's like, you gotta stay conscious, blah, 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 blah. And then once that fire goes out, Meredith just kind of brings the gum and splits it.
Oh, yeah, because like, Christina's like, I'm hungry. And Meredith's like, I got some gum. And then she's like, I don't want gum, I want food. And then the fire goes out. And then Meredith's like, here's some gum. And they just split the piece of gum. Like, what else is there to do?
The Last Supper. Oh goodness. Yeah, it's what's the ending monologue that she says over the top there?
So the opening monologue is technically a flashback to the first episode.
Yes.
Where it's Richard walking them through. And then the closing monologue is a different version of that. So this is the monologue for the episode. A month ago, you were in med school being taught by doctors. Today, you are the doctors. The 7 years you spend here as surgical residents will be the best and worst of your life. You will be pushed to the breaking point. 8 of you will switch to an easier specialty. 5 of you will crack under the pressure. 2 of you will be asked to leave. This is your starting line. This is your arena. How well you play, that's up to you. That's the beginning. So then Meredith says, the years we spend as surgical residents will be the best and worst of our lives. We will be pushed to our breaking point. This is the starting line. This is our arena. How well we play, that's up to us. And then it cuts to black. Yikes on bikes.
Yikes on bikes. Yeah, it's pretty intense. So overall, the feels are not good. Not good in the feels. Also, I sent you.
I just saw that.
Quick. You know that meme though, right?
Yeah, that's just not. I don't know. I read that as someone being like saying it mockingly. She was so genuine. She was like, Owen will save us.
I know.
He's so great. He's never wronged me.
No, I was mocking her.
Yeah.
She says, I'm sure Owen sent someone to rescue us. And I'm like, I'm sure Owen sent someone to rescue us. He didn't. He doesn't even know. We don't even get to see him realize that there's a problem. He doesn't stand up. He doesn't run down the hall. He doesn't say, Teddy, you're on fire. Come with
me.
I mean, not, but you don't, like, yes. Okay,
we don't see him react, but we see him realize.
Something is not right in the world.
He sits down to listen to his messages. And he gets, like, 60 from the lady in Boise being like, we're kind of concerned. Like, what time are your doctors supposed to get here? It's like, It's been, no one's here. We're like trying to unjoin these twins.
These twins are still conjoined.
But again, you don't have anyone else you can call if you can't get a hold of Owen.
Yeah. Because
someone else needs to be notified.
It's bad. It's bad. You would think that after the actual show up time had passed, that maybe they would have been like, operator, please connect me to the Seattle Grace receptionist desk, not just Owen Hunt directly. Or also, you gotta think, Richard Weber's been around long enough. He apparently knows everyone everywhere. You think someone maybe would have had his number? They would have called him.
Yeah.
So
literally anyone else at the hospital.
Or,
also, she says, like, I'm gonna call the airport and see if they were held up by weather. And if you call the airport and find out they have not landed, but they did take off, that feels problematic.
That feels like it's an issue worth looking into.
We should address it with authorities.
Yeah. It's all right. We have more to say on this next episode.
Yeah. We're going to wrap this one up and we'll talk about just other things in the next one after everyone's favorite segment.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.